Just behave yourselves and act like men.
Now you start using your head. That's not love. That's 3 feet above your ass.
People will come, Ray.
All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
We don't stink right now.
You play ball like a girl!
You're out of here!
There's no crying in baseball!
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
This is West Coast Bias.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. And broadcast school has really paid off.
Oh, yeah. It's a hot one today. It is. It's not summer, but it feels like it. We are back, coming to you live and unlive from San Francisco, California. This is West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast. I am Adam Nelson.
I am Samuel Paul.
Bear with us. We got a helicopter outside patrolling the streets. Something's going down out there.
Yeah, a few blocks away from where we are sitting in our non-soundproof recording space.
Not soundproof.
There is apparent gas leak.
Ooh.
Is
that what it is?
Yeah, that's what the news said that it was, and that's why the helicopter is hovering nearby. So if you hear something strange in the background tonight, that is what it is. We are not in a war zone.
Although it sounds like we may be pretty soon. I don't know. I hope not.
I hope not either. We've got a lot of baseball to watch instead of being in a war. But
it's been a lively week in baseball. Hopefully it's not going to be too lively in this hotbox studio. It's not hotbox, but it is a hot box in here right now. It's very
right,
hot.
Yes.
So we have the windows open, so just bear with us, please.
The hot box was a few days ago on April 20th.
That's right. This is a literal hot box. We are sweating. It is hot. It's time. It's California, baby. And we got some good baseball going on this week. Please email us, leave a comment on our Facebook. Mostly West Coast Bias, I guess.
West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast.
There we go. And Baseball Show Podcast at gmail.com. I always forget that. Baseball Show Podcast. All one word, of course, at gmail.com. Before we jump in, let's look at a letter here from an email, I should say. That's old. Yeah, there are no more letters anymore.
No, not
dating myself a bit. From
so
Samir. Samir in San Francisco. Hey, guys, I'm a Red Sox fan, but still enjoy your point of view. Wondering about Blake Swihart for Boston, and if you think you'll be getting more playing time. Thanks. Well, if you're a Swihart fan, it's kind of tough right now because they got Sandy Leone. They got Christian Vasquez, right? Swihart looked good. He was kind of one of my deep sleepers, I guess you could say, in spring training. Only maybe as a platoon option between Vasquez and Sandy Leone. Sandy Leone had a great start, but, you know, he's very streaky. He has a week and a half where he gets like three home runs and he's just crushing the ball. And then otherwise he's not hitting anything. Swihart does have some at-bats this season, but usually just as a pinch hitter or, you know, when the game's a blowout. But in 25 spring training games, he, as a switch hitter, which is also nice coming from your catcher position, he had 7 doubles, 3 home runs. He had 11 RBIs. There really aren't any options.
And having a plethora of catchers anyway is usually a good problem to have.
It is.
Back up, keep everyone rested, healthy, feeling good. Have an extra guy come off the bench.
Right.
Late into extra inning games.
That's kind of what he's been, yeah. And then he could stay behind the plate. Yeah,
this is not a bad thing. And Boston is stacked. They're doing
fine. I don't think
very well. They're off to a very hot start and very little to worry about. If you're a fan of the player, he'll get his time. But
yeah, you know, it's good that they did keep him, because otherwise they would have had to DFA him and they would have got no compensation for that. So I think they are just sort of hoarding him just in case, you know. But yeah, I mean, an injury to Vasquez or Leone or even one of the club's outfielders would provide an immediate role for Swihart. But, you know, every day that passes that he's not there, his value is going to go down. But right now, Sandy Leon is hitting 115, 115, 115 with three hits and two runs and 26 at-bats. That's not a pretty triple slash line. Christian Vasquez is hitting 208, 263, 245. I mean, when your slugging's worse than your OBP, I don't know, leave something to be desired, to say the least. So, you know, who knows? Maybe if the Red Sox start losing a few games, which of course is going to happen, they're not going to keep going on that crazy streak. You know, I don't know. Maybe we'll see Swihart. But I will say last week, the Mets lost both of their starting catchers, Kevin Plawecki and Travis d'Arnaud, with broken hand and Tommy John surgery. And they're using Jose Lobaton, their third catcher, and double A prospect Tomas Nito. And Nito doesn't look ready for the majors. And, you know, you can't just go with one catcher. So, I don't know. Maybe we see a Swihart trade to the Mets. I don't know. It's not.
We'll see.
It's not impossible.
It might still be a little bit too early for any real trade talks at this point.
Yeah. But, you know.
But I know the Mets have a few pitchers that the Red Sox may very well be interested
in. Yeah. And that would definitely help Swihart's fantasy value. But, you know, you must be sitting pretty right now if you're a Boston Red Sox fan.
Unless you were watching the A's Red Sox this weekend, which had a very momentous event.
Very slice, yeah. Nice big... Yeah.
One of those occasions that is starting to become more and more rare. Not that they were ever that common to begin with, but we had our first no-hitter of 2018.
That's right. And it went to a guy who really, I like Sean Manaea a lot. He's a big dude. He could be intimidating and mean, but he just seems like one of the nicest guys. And I don't know. Yeah, it was really good to see, especially going up against Chris Sale that day. I mean. You know, based on the numbers, if you looked at that game, you'd be,
A's had none chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 strikeouts, though, from Manaea, serving up a nice big slice of humble pie to the Red Sox.
Yeah, the MLB leading offense thus far held two games, so one run and six hits. That's pretty impressive by the A's young pitching staff. And the A's don't have the best record so far, but they are.
Hey, they're over 500.
They're looking to be a lot better than what was projected, and might get a fun, entertaining year out of the A's if they keep producing and pitching like they are.
Yeah, so far so good, and they have some good young talent, you know. And I don't know. That was great to see, and that was also. What, the 2018 Red Sox were the best team in Major League Baseball history to get no hit? I believe that's correct,
right? Yes, that is correct. They previously the 93 Giants. No, this sorry, the I was looking at the wrong date. The 2003 Giants were the last best team to get. No hit, and that was by Millwood, the Philadelphia Phillies.
Nice.
That was that was a while ago. It's rare that a good team with gets no hit and shut down in that very dramatic and emphatical way.
Oh, it's great, especially. Being in Oakland, being at home, and I hate to say it, but because it was a Red Sox-A's game, Red Sox fans seem to turn out in Oakland. I don't know why, but I've been to Red Sox-A's games in Oakland, and there's just, I mean, it's like 50-50. It's disturbing and depressing. I don't like it, but for that night, it was great because the stands were packed. You know, it wasn't like a 15,000-seat night. There was
people actually got to see the performance and appreciate it for what it was, exactly. Even if... Most of those people in the stands may not have liked the result.
I'm not going to say most because it's too depressing.
Red Sox Nation does travel. They travel up. Well. Yeah.
For some reason, there's a lot in California.
And there's always seats available for Oakland these days. So,
yeah. Well, it's a huge park as well.
It is. The most crowded A's games that I've really ever been to have been Red Sox versus A's and Yankees versus A's.
Yeah.
They tend to show up and fill up the park because they can.
Yeah.
Because they can.
Yeah. So Boston had the second longest active streak in the majors of avoiding the no-hitter.
Yes,
Seattle's Chris Bosio was the last pitcher to hold the Red Sox team hitless back in April 22nd, the same day? Almost exactly 25 years ago.
Was it the same day? No, it was 1993.
One day off. Yeah.
One day off, yeah.
But April 22nd, that is pretty crazy. Oakland, yeah. Of course.
Well, Boston, that game streak, Boston was 3,887 games without being no hit.
Jesus. And right now, who has the longest active streak?
Your Oakland Athletics.
That's right. And that's 4,242 games.
Right.
So that is pretty cool. Yeah, you know, and Manaea only threw 108 pitches. He probably could have got away with like 103 had he not walked Benintendi second to last batter. Had he got him out, he would have been out. But
was that the only base runner that walked? Or
no, there was a walk before. I think in the fifth or sixth, and then the very last batter, or what could have been the very last batter in the night. He had a two strike count on him. Got it. Benintendi worked it full, and then he got the walk. And then Hanley came up and grounded the second, or grounded the short, easy out right there. Yeah. So yeah, there were two walks, but 10 Ks, and out of the 108 pitches, 32 were changeups. By far the most he'd thrown all season. He had only thrown as many as 32 changeups in three starts last season. But you know, I was watching the interview with the catcher, Jonathan Lucroy, and he was just kind of like in awe. He was saying, you know, this is the best game he has ever caught. And he wasn't, Manaea wasn't shaking him off really at all. And Lucroy's really, he's got a really good baseball IQ back there behind the plate.
Sure.
And they were, if you were watching that game, I mean, or just watch all of his outs, it was pretty amazing. He was hitting every single spot, you know, Lucroy set up, inside, outside, changeup out to lefties, changeup in to righty. I mean, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful game to watch. I hope this builds Manaea's confidence a lot, you know. Hopefully he goes out there and trusts his catcher. You know, a good catcher is everything. That's the other half of that no-hitter.
And it really is quite amazing looking at a lot of the no-hitters out there, how much that actually happens, that when no-hitter happens, that the pitcher is dealing, his stuff is working, and he's not shaking off the pitcher,
right.
whatever the catcher is laying down there, whatever the location the catcher calls for, the pitcher agrees with it, hits a spot, and lo and behold, at the end of the game, he's pitched the entire nine innings, not only not giving up a run, but not giving up a hit.
It's pretty impressive.
It's very impressive.
It's a beautiful thing to watch.
And it's probably a lesson for aspiring pitchers out there.
It's true.
Who want to up the game. Trust your catcher. Mm-hmm. You two are a team. Work together to get those batters out. The catcher's back there studying, noticing things, batter tendencies, knows the lineup.
Oh, they know
just as well as you probably do as a pitcher, if not
more
better.
So. Yeah. Because they're out there every day.
Right, and also they're also hitting under every day as well. So
right.
They, on some level, understand what it is to be a hitter and the psychology of a hitter and best ways to work hitters in certain situations because they themselves have been in that situation.
Yeah, if you got a veteran behind the plate, you got to trust him. And your job is just to make your pitches. You know, his job is to call the game, essentially. You know, I mean, unless you're Randy Johnson, maybe, and you're just going to go out there and blow dudes away. But
everyone is Randy Johnson.
Right.
Not everyone is Nolan Ryan.
Right. And Sean Manaea, his fastball used to live in the high 90s, or at least the mid-high 90s, 96, 97. But this season, and I think, to an extent last season, it was, but I think mainly this season, he's down to like low 90s, but he's got that changeup now. That's just devastating. He had a great first half last year. His second half left a lot to be desired, but so far so good this year. You know, he's a career 3.92 ERA pitcher, but you know, I don't know. I think getting a no hitter like that, especially at home, and especially without, you know, blowing guys away, just keeping them off balance and fooling them, that's got to be great. Great for your confidence. And I think that game only took 2 hours and 16 minutes also. That's a
remarkably short game. This also tends to happen with no hitters. The no base runners,
yeah,
fishing outs.
Exactly.
Yeah. Only 108 pitches. Yeah. So
in 99 going into like the last at bat. Yeah, exactly. So yeah. Trying to speed up the game, well, I don't know. Quit juicing those balls, MLB, I guess. There you go.
Well, then that's also then a far cry for what happened in Anaheim over the weekend. We had an historic at-bat.
That at-bat. Jesus.
Brandon Belt versus Barron. 21 pitch at-bat. Took 12 minutes to complete. Probably the first flyout to right field in history that's ever had a standing ovation and high fives from the batter returning to the dugout. 21
pitches?
21 pitches.
Jesus. I remember seeing D. Gordon get like a 17 or 18 pitch at bat, and then he got a single, and that was just like, but that was insane. But 21, that was over 10 minutes, right? I mean,
it was 12 minutes long.
12 yeah. minute at bat.
That was a long bat. Long at bat. And
the pitcher won that battle.
The pitcher won that battle.
But he lost the war because his pitch count was
77 pitches in 2 innings. Brandon Belt's next at bat in the game, he went nine pitches deep.
Good
and
Lord.
Then crushed a ball to right field for a home run.
So he's not being fooled very much.
He's
not making contact.
He's not. And there's an article in the San Francisco Chronicle today talking about Brandon Belt and his knowledge and sense of the strike zone is up there with some of the great hitters in the game.
Yeah, he doesn't strike out a lot.
He doesn't. And that is a good thing. He also doesn't hit a lot of home runs. This past week, he only just hit his 101st and 102nd home runs of his career. Big boy like that, you expect that he would have at least double by this point in his career.
I think all Giants fans would expect that as well. Yeah, exactly. He's a big guy.
6'3", 220 pounds. Yeah. He's a first baseman. That's
should
a power position.
Yeah.
He should be hitting a lot more home runs, and it's not just AT&T Park. Is he plays 82 games in other stadiums that are not.
That's probably the only thing keeping him employed, at least as a major leaguer, is his lack of strikeouts. Because, I mean, Giants have been patient with him for some years here.
And he's got a decent glove. He does flash some leather from time to time over there and plays a good first base defensively. And that helps him as well.
Yeah, but yeah,
the inconsistency with the power numbers is what drives most Giants fans crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why isn't this guy hitting more balls hard?
Well, as a Dodger fan, I like it. I like it a lot. What I do not like is the strange weather. I mean, we're dying over here, sweating up a storm in California. But there were 27 games in the first 3 weeks of the season that have had first pitch temperatures in the 30s.
Oh, it's far too cold to be playing baseball.
Last year, there was only one. There was only one game in the 30s.
And that was in Colorado.
Right. That makes sense. I remember there was snow in the seats in the outfield. But
yeah, and now we've had Wrigley and Kaminsky. And
Kaminsky doesn't exist anymore.
Well, the new Kaminsky.
Is it guaranteed?
Whatever the new corporate name of the new Kaminsky
Tampax
Park
Stadium. Yeah.
In the south side of Chicago. The last of the monstrosities to build before the ballpark revitalization.
Okay.
Camden Yards. But and Fenway and City Field and Yankee Stadium and Colorado and Detroit.
Right.
have all been snowed out. Been great pictures out on the internet. If you find them of these baseball stadiums just covered with snow. And I don't know. And Major League Baseball only had 25 postponements all year last year because of weather.
We've seen 25 postponed games in the first 3 weeks this year.
More than that, yes. It's pretty incredible. I don't know, because it is weather related, if they can do anything to mitigate these kind of weather related delays.
Yeah, stop procreating. Right. Anyway, I don't know. This isn't political talk. but apparently the cold weather is not so bad for everyone, because Nick Castellanos, we could call him Mr. Winter, Mr. Tundra. I don't know. You could call him Mr. Freeze if you'd
the
like.
The snowman.
But he leads the major leagues with 9 hits in games that started with a temperature of 39 degrees or below. I love that somebody. that's more than Carlos Santana, Chris Davis, Randall Grichuk have all year, by the way, in any weather. So, you know, that's pretty good for Nick. I guess he doesn't mind it out there in Detroit. Of course, the Blue Jays and the Royals managed to have a game postponed under a roof. Thanks to what? Is that giant icicle that fell off CN Tower?
Terrifying. Big chunk of ice fell through the roof, and I don't know. Is it time for the Rogers Center to be replaced? Do they need to do something?
Well, if an icicle, I mean, I'm sure the icicle was the size of a school bus, but still, I mean, if that's all it takes, and the CN Tower, I know it's right there, but Jesus. I mean, what if that hit the street?
It's a good thing that no one was playing at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's actually best case scenario for where that's going to land. that is pretty insane.
Still a little bit better than the way that the Metrodome fared a few years ago when the entire roof collapsed under the weight of the snow.
That's right. There was I forget what it was. There was a construction worker that lit a cigarette with a torch in the old Astrodome, I think, and then that caught on fire, and then they had to postpone that one. There have been a few indoor parks that have been postponed, but due to weather and or man-made incidences. But you know, how about Bartolo? How about, you know, he had a great start 2 starts ago. Took a was it a perfect game or just a no hitter
It was a perfect game into the eighth. Yeah,
took the mound. Yeah, just 6 outs away from being the oldest man ever to throw a no hitter. But only 4 pitchers in their 40s have ever thrown a no hitter. Maybe we should have saved this for the trivia. But no, it's Cy Young, Warren Spahn, Nolan Ryan twice, and Randy Johnson.
Yeah, it's an impressive list.
And Colon was 8 months older than Nolan Ryan. So he would have been the oldest, but since Nolan Ryan did it in 91, he was 44 years old. Oh, well. But even Bartolo lost a no-hitter, even though he lost it to the Josh Reddick double. That was the only hit he did allow. And he still ranks 4th on the list of oldest pitchers in the live ball era to go at least 7 innings and give up no more than 1 hit. And on that list, Jamie Moyer at 46 years old. He was almost 47 when he did it. Randy Johnson when he was 45. Nolan Ryan when he was 45. And Bartolo Colon last Sunday. Yeah. Pretty nice. Yeah, this was the second time he's thrown at least 7 innings of one-hit ball in his 40s. He also did it last year as a Brave. And he never did it when he was in his 20s. And he never did it when he was in his 30s. So, hey. He looks the same out there.
Improving with age.
And didn't he beat a speedster?
Yeah. beat him a foot race to the bag with D. Gordon. Of course, Bartolo Colon had a little bit shorter distance to cover. But still impressive, quite the feat, because D. Gordon is very fast.
Yeah.
It is somewhat impressive to watch.
Beating Speedy Gordon. That's pretty good. That's pretty, you know, Bartolo's having a hell of a comeback. I'm sure he'll get popped for PEDs in a couple months because I can't figure it out otherwise. It doesn't make any sense. But, hey, who knows, you know?
The man with the rubber arm, it happens from time to time.
Speaking of good pitchers and good pitching, the immaculate inning. You know, it's quite rare.
Immaculate inning.
But you're more likely to see an immaculate inning now more than ever. Three batters retired on nine pitches, all of them strikes, of course. Pedro Martinez is one of a few pitchers to start a game with an immaculate inning. Kenley Jansen threw one to end a game with a save. And Danny Jackson threw one in 1985 World Series for the Royals. But they're extremely rare. For comparison, there have been 297 now, used to be, you know, up until recently, 297 no-hitters in MLB history compared to 89 immaculate innings. That's a far cry. But they are on the rise. There were only 19 in the first century of Major League Baseball, and there have been more than that since 2013.
We're also entering an age where we have more and more specialized pitchers who in just to blow people away. It's still an impressive feat to strike three batters out on three straight pitches.
Yeah, you almost never see relievers do it. It's usually a starter. But I don't know. There were zero immaculate innings between 1928 and 1953. Zero. The biggest spike happened in the 60s and the 70s, thanks almost entirely to Sandy Koufax and Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan averaged 9.5 K per nine over his career, which at that time was a record. But there are five active players on pace to average more career strikeouts. Of course, Kershaw, Kluber, Scherzer, Strasburg, and Sale. But Ryan did it over a 27-year career, so the odds of those guys matching that are slim to none. Slim to none. It's probably impossible, actually. 27 years, it's just nuts. But strikeout frequency, I think, like you're saying, has increased since 2008. Pitchers are throwing harder. Batters are more willing to swing and strike out because an out's an out, at least in their mind. And that also gives them more chance to hit home runs. So, you know, even in this day and age when the whiff is king, the home run is king also. Because of that, guys are striking out way more. And I guess that's the corollary there. But they're still extremely rare and really fun to watch.
Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
Exactly. But, you know, not always the case.
Not always. They can be exciting. You know, I was just trying to think of if I've ever seen an immaculate inning in person, and I don't believe that I have. And you said Pedro Martinez pitched one. Did it
start a game
in the regular season? Wasn't the All-Star game,
no,
was it?
No.
Because he did start an All-Star game, striking out three National League All-Stars to start the All-Star game.
But it wasn't nine pitches.
It wasn't on nine pitches?
Not to my knowledge, although I don't think those games count in official stats. Well, anyway,
they don't, but those stats do exist somewhere.
Right. But not with me, sadly. No, I do remember that, though. That's definitely true. But, yeah, again, it's just they're super rare. There's only 89 in history, 140 years.
If anyone out there can tell us... If it was indeed immaculate inning to start the All-Star game with Pedro Martinez pitching, email us, contact us, let us know before our next recording.
Do that.
And yes. Yeah.
BaseballShowPodcast@gmail.com. Let us know. Now, you know, a lot of attention is on the Astros right now and the Astros starting rotation, and that, you know, are they the most dominant rotation in, you know, ever? I don't know about that, but they're already up to six games this season in which one of their starting pitchers piled up 11 strikeouts or more from four different pitchers, which
it's impressive. They're off to a very good start. No signs of World Series hangover. They are hitting the ball. They are pitching the ball. They are winning games. They're in the middle of a six-game win streak, and for the first time in Astros history, completed a sweep of the Chicago White Sox.
That's pretty crazy. I mean, they haven't been in the American League that long, so I guess it's not that crazy, but the White Sox haven't been good for the last few years. That's pretty surprising that they've never swept them. But if you're wondering, though, the record set for consecutive games, or at least games in a season where a starting pitcher has 11 or more strikeouts, is 2001 Diamondbacks. And that was only two pitchers. That was Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling, of course.
Right.
And they did it 26. 16 for Johnson and 10 for Curt Schilling.
Yeah, I got to see a lot of those games on TV at that time. I was living in Arizona. I got to see a lot of that season. It was impressive, yeah, to say the least.
Well, they won the World Series that
they
year.
Did. They did.
In, yeah, against New York, in New York, weeks after 9/11, which, I mean, they won it in Arizona, but
right.
but they still beat New York.
In New York,
a lot,
yeah,
of fanfare going on there, you know.
It was an emotional series for a lot of different reasons.
It is pretty crazy. In 2002, 22 and 21 of them from Johnson and Schilling as well. And then in 1973, it happened 21 times, 19 of them by Nolan Ryan alone. Pretty insane.
Nolan Ryan. How many times have we said Nolan Ryan's name already in this podcast?
I'm not even trying. It just comes up. I'm not planning it. That's just how it goes. How about Charlie Blackmon? Man, and this is the whole thing. I know the I'm going to be scatterbrained a bit here, but I know the Astros are killing it and the team's doing great. But, my number one draft pick, Altuve, he's not killing it. He's not killing it for me. Sure, he's hitting over 330. But where's the power, Altuve? Where are the stolen bases, bro? Come on. Let's go. Step it up. Your whole team is, all right? I can't have you ranked 300th in all of baseball and you're my number one pick. I'm pissed. I'm upset. I did not want Altuve. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I didn't want him. But I was third pick in the draft. Didn't think I'd even have to worry about taking Altuve. Of course, the number one overall pick in our league threw a curveball and picked up Clayton Kershaw, number one overall, which, you know, it's Trout, Altuve, Trout. I didn't think I even had to worry about that.
Harper.
The damn huevos picks up Kershaw, threw a whole wrench in my system, because I figured, hey, third pick, I'd probably be able to get Kershaw, or maybe Arenado. I mean, I was gonna wait and see, but I didn't think I ever had to think about getting Altuve. So of course, Kershaw goes one, Trout goes two. I have to pick Altuve, but I don't want Altuve. I know he's a monster. So, I know his numbers are great, but he's a second baseman. I don't need a second baseman for my first pick. It's maddening. It's killing my team this year.
So let me ask you, why did you choose Altuve over Harper?
Well, had I known Harper was going to have break all kinds of records, but
why wouldn't you suspect it? Harper has been
Altuve,
so good.
Because Altuve's never had a bad year, and Harper has. Or at least Harper's had a pedestrian year. And I know this is his walk year, and maybe I should have went with Harper. And again, hindsight's 20/20. But, you know, because Altuve still is the MVP, and had he even had a similar season, and look, we're 3.5 weeks in. I'm sure Altuve would get some home runs. Will he get 30? I don't know. I hope he does, but, you know, and Harper,
so does most of Houston.
Harper doesn't steal bases anymore. And Harper makes some errors, surprisingly, in the outfield. And those all count against me in my league. Again, it's the consensus. I mean, I would almost rather have Arenado over Harper. Again, just because he's going to play, you know, 80 games in Colorado, you know. I was touching on Blackmon. Because it almost looks like he's a better pick than Harper or any of them right now. Right now, we'll see. He was already sidelined for a couple games with the minor injury. But, I don't know. I'm sorry. I just needed the vent. I did not want a second baseman. It's just, you know, there's so many other good second basemen out there. And I can't change it. You know, he's my second baseman. I'm never going to move him. I'm going to start him every day, of course. But I don't know. Give us a shout out. Leave us a comment, and I wonder if this is a common thing with people that pick Altuve, because I don't know. In my mind, and at least in our league, it's just, yeah, he's hitting for average. He's doing great, but I need the pop. You know, I need that power for my number one guy. I don't know. Maybe you're right, and maybe I shouldn't have picked him. But I mean, I had to. I had to. You don't have a choice when you're. And he's still around. Well, in your third pick. He's still around. You have to. He's the MVP.
He is the reigning MVP. I get that. But after a curveball to start the draft, why not another curveball?
Well, I know. I know.
I'd throw everyone off at that point.
That's true. I know. Well, again. Anyway, but Charlie Blackman, to his credit, had, up until yesterday, had 7 home runs, and none of them were at Coors Field. That's pretty good. So no longer are we going to be worrying about his home away splits. I don't think many people have been, but he did get one last night in Coors Field, or 2 nights ago. Was it last night? I don't know.
Yeah, he's a hitter for sure. It was last night, yes.
Yeah.
Sunday.
But again, that's another guy that I'm never too high on during the draft. I know he's going to go top 10 or top 15, I guess, but I don't know. I don't really like leadoff guys to get drafted first. I don't know. That's just me. Anyway. last Thursday, the Padres got one hit by the Giants, and the only hit was by a pitcher, Clayton Richard, who was actually pinch hitting. 4 days before that, the Reds got one hit by the Pirates, and their only hit was by a pitcher, Tyler Molly, or Maul, I don't know how to say his name. So when was the last time you saw 2 games like that in the same week? Never, because it's never happened.
Okay, good, because I couldn't think of an occasion.
It is pretty crazy. It is pretty nuts. It's almost as crazy. Well, I guess it's just as crazy as on Tuesday, the Brewers beat the Reds 2-0. And all the runs came on a 2-run home run by Eric Thames. I say Thames. I know people say Thames.
I don't know the official pronunciation. I've heard Thames.
Should be Thames. Like Thames, right? I don't know. Like the river. Anyway, I know it's not spelled the same way, but there's a TH. Anyway, I'm just going to say Thames. And then on Wednesday, the Brewers beat the Reds 2-0 again with all the runs coming on a 2-run homer by Eric Thames. So when, how often does that happen? Where back-to-back, do teams play back-to-back games where the only runs scored in either of them are from a home run by the same guy in each game? It's only happened twice since 1900, and right. We actually touched on this a few episodes back.
Both happened this year.
This year, three weeks ago. Joe Panic.
To open the season.
Never in 118 consecutive seasons. Then twice in 3 weeks. That is pretty crazy.
It is quite crazy.
It's been a strange year. It's been a year of weird stats like this.
It's a topsy-turvy year so far. Topsy-turvy month.
Were you telling me Bryce Harper broke the April record for a batter?
Yeah, he is. Well, I mean, we still have a few days left in the month.
That's true.
But right now he is the current leader for all-time OPS for all the month of April.
Jesus.
And that is more than Barry Bonds, a guy named Babe Ruth, another guy called Ted Williams. So some pretty elite company, to say the least. And keep it up for the next week and get there. It speaks volumes about his value going into next year and free agent contract.
Record, I'm sure he'll set the record next year.
I've heard plenty of speculation already that he'll be the first $400 million man.
Jesus. Well, the main reason why he's going to get the record is because he's only 25. And it never happens. A guy never goes 5-6 seasons, gets into a contract year, and he's still 25. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Harper.
Any chance of him staying in Washington?
Sure. I mean, look, if they do good in the postseason this year, and Scott Boras is his agent, he represents like more than half that payroll on that team. And the Nationals are a good team. Where else is he going to go? Is he going to go to a worse team? I don't
Chicago?
Think so. The Cubs?
Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting.
His dog's name is Wrigley.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is he from Chicago?
No, he's from Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And Chicago has another star who happens to be his friend from...
Greg Maddux?
From Las Vegas as well. No, current star.
Oh.
I believe Chris Bryant.
Oh.
Is from Las Vegas?
Really?
And they're apparently tight. And so Speculations that I've heard is that he is a good chance of going to Chicago, or at least that is where he may want to go.
Wow.
And Cubs certainly have the ability to afford him.
Do they?
Well, they just
gave Darvish a good chunk of change.
They're printing money after coming off the World Series 2 years ago.
I guess that's true.
You know, they're extremely.
I don't know. That's a lot of cash.
It is. But, you 10
year contract, I'm assuming, right? 10 years for Harper.
Most likely, but unless.
National League team, are they going to. Oh, he's 35. That's not too bad, I guess.
And it's possible that, you know, maybe he'll get a little bit more money in shorter years. If their teams are starting to shy away from the 10 year, maybe he'll get 6 or 7 with a couple of options.
That's going to spell bad news for the Cubs outfield, though. I mean, they have Hayward. Hayward's not going anywhere, so he'll stay. But Almora Jr., you see those two catches he made yesterday? That was insane. Yeah. That guy is going off. And then who else do they have out there? Oh, well, Kyle Schwarber. I guess, I would sacrifice Schwarber for Harper any day. I don't know about the hometown fans, but they also have what's his name, Happ, right? Ian Happ.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been playing because he's been struggling. But that guy's I think that guy still is a monster. He's just been he's been tweaking his swing a little bit, and it hasn't been for the better. But I'm sure once he figures it out again. I mean, he started off the entire season right, first pitch, first at bat of the year with a home run. He hasn't been doing too much lately. But again, I mean, Almora Jr., Schwarber, Hayward, Happ, and then you throw Harper in the mix. I don't know. I mean, I guess they could send down any of those guys. Even Hayward, although Hayward is a Gold Glover.
Well, sure, but that gives them also some options to trade if they do plan on going after Harper in the off season. They have some trade bait to get a picture. This depends on, of course, where they are in a couple of months. Right now, St. Louis, Milwaukee, and the Pirates are all doing better than expected and all above the Cubs in the standings.
I can't see him going to any of those teams. Although, I don't know. Maybe. You know, money talks. So, I don't know
he's
the inner
be
workings of the mind of Bryce Harper, but I'm assuming he wants to win a World Series. You could win MVP, you could win you could win batting titles all your life, but if you never win a World Series, you know, that's tough.
It is, but it's happened to many of the greats.
Sure.
Barry Bonds comes to mind immediately.
Yeah. Don Mattingly. Yeah, I mean, I know he's not in that same category, but still.
Wade Boggs had to defect to the Yankees from the Red Sox in order to get his.
Yeah. It's sad, you know, but then that's what I'm thinking now, at least for Harper. I think he knows he's gonna make a shit ton of money. Look, $380 million to $400 million.
Is that a metric shit ton?
That's an actual
an
term.
Imperial,
No. That is a baseball metric term. Yeah. But yeah, I mean think about it. You 380 to a team that's good, or 400 to a team that's bad. I mean, yeah, $20 million is $20 million. Like that could pretty much set me going. But you know, when you already have over $300 million, don't you just want that ring more than anything? I don't know.
I would hope so.
I could see him staying.
Is the spirit of the game?
I could see him staying. I mean, again, look, they have arguably the best rotation in baseball. I know we were just talking about how dominant Houston is, but I mean, come on.
Well, this
Scherzer,
is this
Strasburg,
is why you say
Gio.
Arguably, because there are a number of great rotations right now and rotations that are performing very well right now, and argue all day and night about
Kershaw
which one's
Maeda.
Best.
Yeah, Kershaw, Maeda, and Wood are pretty damn good. Maeda is really killing it. Anyway, hey, how about the Dodgers? Come to LA, Bryce.
Dodgers?
Come to LA, Bryce. I don't think he it's too much sin here. Too much sin in California. You know, he's a
from
he's a
Sin City.
You know? Yeah, but you know, he's
all about baseball.
Well, he's a Mormon, right?
I don't know. Is he?
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Come on. Remember, it's a clown question, bro. Remember when he went up? He was like 18 or 19. He went up to Toronto to play a game, and like the reporter was like, "Hey, you could legally drink up here," and he got all pissed.
I don't remember that. I don't remember.
Anyway,
that
I don't. Yeah, I don't think he's coming to California. And he is from Sin City, sure, but I don't know. I think he's staying. But, yeah, do the Nationals have the money? I don't know. Maybe not.
Are they willing to spend it?
Well, they better be. Look, if they make, or when they make the postseason, I'm sure they will. I mean, I guess the Mets are going to try.
The Mets, the Phils, and the Braves probably won't sustain what they're doing.
It's a long season. It's a long season.
It is. Too early to really start speculating playoffs, but still fun to kind of look. Because after about a month, we start to get a sense of who these teams are, how they're performing. Start to see some trends that obviously the Reds are a complete non-factor at this point.
Oh yeah, what would you say? They're on pace to win 25 games,
23 games. They're on pace to win 23 games all season.
That's brutal, man. I feel bad for Votto because Votto is easily one of the best players in the last 10, 20 years, and he's just toiling away out there. It's sad to see. Because it's fun to watch him. It's fun to watch him play. I know he's not like a crowd favorite, but he's like old school ball. He's like the closest thing we got to like a Ty Cobb, I think, you know. Just angry. Never says anything nice.
Chip on his shoulder.
Chip on
his
shoulder, but he'll choke up when he needs to, and he just gets base hits, and the guy doesn't strike out. He's fun to watch. I don't know. But yeah, it is kind of sad to see. Maybe we'll see Harper go to Cincinnati. How about that? Inject a little
that would be a surprising turn of events.
You imagine that 3-4? Oof, that would be tough.
And that's a bandbox too. You talk about hitting home runs. Harper already has 8 this season, and in Cincinnati, those balls be flying a lot farther.
Oh my god, yeah, he might break the single season. He might break Bonds' record. Well, speaking of monster home runs, though, how about Frachie? I don't know how to say it. Cordero. Let's just say Cordero.
That was an incredible blast.
Off the top of Chase Field's scoreboard in center field.
I would be posting that link to that video on Facebook. You want to check it out for yourself. It just kept on going. It left Phoenix and landed somewhere in the Grand Canyon, I think. It was a blast. Only one shot I've ever seen go even close to that far. It happened in the same field there in Arizona. It hit in the same vicinity by Andres Galarraga when he was with the Giants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Monster blast up into the same vicinity that went up into that center, right field corner with that high wall at 413, and was well above it on a line when it hit a sign. This blast last night cleared the signs and sailed farther into the concourse.
Yeah.
An impressive shot, taking nothing away from it at all. It went a very, very, very long way. The camera lost it. You couldn't even see it. It went so high and so far that camera couldn't track it. They were looking for it. You really couldn't see it. It just showed the thing, and there was nothing there except, you know, a few people walking around looking a little bit confused.
Right. Mark McGwire said it was that he himself had never hit one further. He said maybe he did have a caveat, maybe in BP, but you know, Big Mac. You know, that guy is.
And I've heard stories about Mickey Mantle and some of the blasts that he hit. Out of old Yankee Stadium into the third desk, still going up. Upward trajectory out in the third deck at Yankee Stadium, but
there was no Statcast back then, but Statcast, which has been recording data since 2015, had never recorded a deeper home run by a Padres player or by a visiting player in Chase Field, and even the newly installed humidor obviously is never going to...
You hit a ball that hard, I don't care how humid of an environment you are, it's going to go far. 489 feet was the official
And like you said, it hit the wall, so I mean, it was probably going to go a lot more than 500. I mean,
well, no, that I don't know if it hit the wall. I don't know if it
No, it did,
hit the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, there is. Everybody eventually
it has to hit something. It was Galarraga's that hit the sign.
Yeah.
That probably would have gone.
His hit the top of the scoreboard in center field.
Okay.
Yeah. It's according to Statcast, had a exit velocity of 116.3 miles per hour. Traveled 489 plus feet, needing just 6.2 seconds to go from the bat to the metal protecting right side of the scoreboard.
Yeah, that also brings to mind, I think it might have been the first year of StatCast 2015 at Dodger Stadium, the ball that Giancarlo Stanton hit that cleared the pagoda beyond the bleachers in left field at Dodger Stadium. That was an impressive blast itself, too.
Yeah.
It's okay. He's no longer in the National League. You won't have to worry about that until, the World Series, probably.
Speaking of Padres, the Padres are still in one of the most depressing trivia questions, which is which MLB team has never had a pitcher toss a no-hitter? Well, we almost saw one. We almost saw one by Tyson Ross. But since San Diego joined the league as an expansion team in 1969, there have been 129 games played in which not a single hit was allowed. So 129 no-hitters since then. For the Padres, though, no, none. But Tyson Ross carried a no-hitter into the eighth inning at Chase Field, no less, during that same game. And the one we were just talking about, when Christian Walker hit a line drive over the head of Freichy Cordero with two outs, and it was a bad he should have had that ball. And it was, not only did the RBI double end the no-no, but it tied the game at 1-1 and set the ninth inning rally by the Padres en route to a 4-1 win. But he entered the game in the eighth with 104 pitches, so that's also kind of tough now, quickly burning past his career high. He did 127 pitches, Fracci, I need to hear somebody say his name. I'll just call him Cordero, but it was four innings earlier where he hit that insane home run, but then he blew that. I don't know if it was an easy, it's hard, because when the ball was hit, he made a step forward, because he judged it wrong. Then he had to run back, and then the ball ended up flying right over his head.
I did not actually see that play in question, so I can't really fairly comment on it, but I do know it is much easier for us sitting here to say, oh yeah, that was an easy play.
Well, but StatCast gave it a catch probability of 99%. So,
okay, well then,
that's pretty brutal, especially for Ross, who had never really thrown that many pitches in his career, but he could kind of smell it, not unlike Manaea, but that's what happens. Well, Freichy, you had a notorious day, let's just put it that way. Or an infamous, how about that?
Infamous day, infamous, yeah. Dubious, perhaps.
In the distinction, sure. Well, how about the newest member of the 200-200 club?
The 200-200 clubs. What's that? 200 home runs and 200 HBP?
That's right. 200 plunkers. Who is the master of that? That would be the Silver Fox, Chase Utley. Just killing it up there. Just taking it for the team, literally. Yeah, he's there's only three members in that club now.
Yeah, it's an exclusive club, perhaps dubious club.
Sure, and Chase still has 85 more hits to go, or more plunkings, I guess, to go before he could even tie Craig Biggio, who still leads all time with 285 hit by pitches and 291 home runs. Pretty nice. Don Baylor in second place there, 267. And 338 home runs. Chase, right on the 200 mark. He does have 259 home runs, and he's been hitting the ball. He's been bashing it this year. He's got a few home runs already. So
revitalized this a walk year for him too.
No, he signed a 2-year, $2 million deal.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I did not hear that news.
Oh, I told you that news on this show.
Did I? I guess I wasn't paying attention then. Or I had forgotten because I don't pay as close attention to the Dodgers.
Yeah,
but I thought I thought that that two-year deal was a couple years ago. I didn't realize
it was
a new one.
During spring. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, which is great to see. I like to see that. You know, he's slowly turning into Tom Berenger in Major League, just taking the ball. You know, he's the old man, but you know, he's the veteran. He's looking good up there, and this year he's looking really good. So nothing to sneeze at there, Chase. Just keep taking your lumps. We love you for it, and welcome to the club, big boy. On that note, we shall answer last week's trivia question. Please remind me last week's trivia question. We do have one guess here. But,
okay. Well, that is good. The so 2 weeks ago, was it 2 weeks ago? It was last week, McCutcheon.
Like a week and a half. Yeah, we usually have this on Thursday. Today's Monday.
Right.
Like
so a week and a half ago, McCutcheon against the Dodgers got 6 hits in a game, the last being a walk-off home run. Only one other time in the live ball era, a player has gotten 6 hits, with the last one being a walk-off home run. Who was that player?
Which player, Major League Baseball history, with 6 hits, including a walk-off home run?
Yes.
Well, we have an answer from Brandon in Alameda.
Brandon, okay.
Says Don Mattingly. Oh.
Don Mattingly, a good guess.
Good guess. You know, I know Don Mattingly had, he had a season where he had 5 grand slams in one season. It's pretty impressive. That's the second time we brought him up today. That's
Donnie Baseball.
That's a good guess.
It is. It is a good guess. It is unfortunately incorrect.
You're out of here.
Ouch. Okay. Well, that's all. We don't have any.
Do you have a guess yourself, Adam?
I do, yeah. I actually was thinking Davey Lopes for some reason.
Davey Lopes?
Yeah, because I know he had like a 6-hit game. I think he had the most hits by a Dodger in one game or something. I don't know. Yeah, Davey Lopes.
Be a good guess, but that is also incorrect.
You're a goddamn disgrace!
All right. I don't know. Who? I don't have anybody else.
You don't have any.
How about Mickey? How about the Mick?
Mickey the Mantle. No, it was not. It was not the Mick either.
Just a bit outside.
Sorry. All right. I don't know. That's it.
There are. You know. You can go down the list and find a number of great players that have had 6-hit games in their career, which is not very common in its own right. To have a great game and have that game
very
usually go
game.
Into or go into extra innings, so you get those extra at bats and chances to get the extra hits. But very rarely do those games end in a walk-off home run by that player that is having such a game.
All right, the suspense is killing me.
So the last time it happened was 1976, Jim Northrop.
Ah.
6-hit game with a walk-off home run.
With the Phillies, or who was he? Who's he playing for?
I wasn't able to find that detail. Ooh. It was the Phillies, or it was the Indians. But it was against Oakland, so it was likely not the Phillies.
Oh, okay. Well, Northrop. Wow, that's going to haunt me. All right, well, that was a good one. I feel like my trivia question this week is a little easy, but I don't know. We'll see.
You were able to find a good one. It is good. It might be still April, but it's never too early to start talking about the World Series.
That's
because
true.
That's what everyone plays for, is for October and the World Series. And so our trivia question is related to the World Series.
That's right.
Yes. So which player has appeared in the most World Series games?
Which player has appeared in the most World Series games? Okay, that's the, not postseason, just World Series.
Just World Series. We're not that's talking about the entire postseason. I'm talking about the entire postseason now changes things because recently the extra round has added potentially five more games.
Right. So yeah, so we're not talking about that.
This is just the World Series itself.
Hell, and six because of that stupid wild card game now too. Yeah. Anyway, right. so World Series.
So just World Series games. So if you think about your baseball history, you might be able to narrow it down a little bit to at least a team or two. But yeah, it's an interesting question.
Send us your answers. BaseballShowPodcast@gmail.com on the Podomatic website.
Facebook at West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast.
I think we might get a winner this time. You'll get a free invite to the show, free beer and chicken if there's any left over. You could come sweat with us in this hot box in San Francisco, California. Yeah. Well, until next week. I am Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul. Remember, baseball is life. The rest, just details.
Go watch some baseball.